Amen. Is there anything that we are not capable of doing with our Lord? He provides us with all the strength we need, doesn't he? Well, it's good to be back with you guys and to get back into the book of Acts. And I know that you were encouraged and lifted up by the sermon from Art last week, and I thank him for his willingness to do that. So as we last looked in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, we saw the church scattering. And we talked a little bit about how strange it is for the church, who has been told to stand firm, who we've seen stand firm, is running and hiding, so it might seem, throughout the world. But that wasn't the case, was it? We saw in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, that as they were scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. They didn't do it to hide, to run out of fear. They did it because they knew that God had a purpose and a plan and a direction for them to go. You know, as I think about that, I think about how overwhelming that idea seems to me. Picture being in your perfect church family. Picture being at church in Aurora. And then all of a sudden, things start going wrong. You start seeing people that you love being killed, thrown in jail. You see your own family members being dragged away out of your house because they have been named Christian. And you start looking around, and the only thing that you know to do is what your master told you, which is when persecution comes, flee to another city. And so you go. But as you go, your world begins to change because the things that once were are no longer there. I used to have the amazing teaching of the apostles. I sat at their feet and I learned about Jesus and I gathered all of this knowledge. And now all of a sudden, I'm moving along and my world has changed. I don't have my teachers anymore. You know, one of the things that I feel most blessed about in my life was to have godly men to train me, even from a young age. My father taught me the value of the word. My uncle mentored me as a minister. And every place I went, as I was in the military, when I came back to the Lord, there were people there who looked at me and said, "I see potential in you, and I'm going to share the knowledge that I have with you." And I look back on those times, and there's often times where I look and I think, man, I wish I could just go back and listen to them teach again. I miss my mentor, Dave. I miss once a week sitting in his office and discussing God's word from a man who has spent a lifetime in the word of God, a thoughtful man who trained me and taught me so much in a very short time. I miss the times with the elders that I've had in the past who were godly men who trained me. Because those times were comfortable. See, I was getting fed. Those were the good times. And that is what they're walking away from. They're walking away from a place where they have the apostles, the men who sat at Jesus' feet for 3 years, divinely guided by the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that they need. And so as their world changes, their roles begin to change. And Philip is a perfect example of this. In Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city." As we look at this, we see that roles change. And so our first point that we need to understand is that God is in control of your role. God is in control of your role. Now, if you'll go back with me, I told you we were done with Acts 6, verses 1 through 6, right? We're going to read it again. So here's what it says. "The 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. You see, when we first get our picture of Philip, we don't get a picture of an evangelist, do we? We get a picture of a godly man who was called to wait on tables. Now, for some of us, that's the ideal. Hey, wait, I can have something like quiet in the background and I don't have to be up front and I can take care of this administrative stuff and I don't have to talk and I don't have to be that person out front. And, you know, for some of us, we latch onto that and we say, yes, where can I have that kind of job? Where can I just quietly work in the background so that I can do the work of God? And in all honesty, for some people, there's nothing wrong with that. For some people, that will be your role in the body. You know, I notice as we look at Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, we don't hear their names again. These men were chosen for that role of taking care of the widows, and they are not mentioned again in the Bible. And what that tells me is that that was the role that God had for them. That was the place that God needed them to take care of, to administrate, to care for the widows. And so there's a time when we really are just who we're meant to be, and God is guiding us to be that person. But what about the times when that's not the case? What about the times when God is taking something and he's using it to build us into something more, that he's got a deeper plan and a different role for us? See, sometimes God doesn't leave us where we are. He doesn't leave us in that place where we're comfortable. He calls us to something more. And that was the case with Philip. When times changed, so did his role. You know, the reality is that when the church was dispersed, somebody had to become a teacher. Somebody had to step out of that role of being a student and to pass that message forward. And so God called Philip to be an evangelist. Now, I want you to think about that. That's a pretty huge change, isn't it? To go from somebody who's an administrator, whose main focus is, did all of the widows get fed? Did we make sure that this action was taken care of, that everything's in place and everything's lined out, to now being the voice of God, an evangelist? You know what evangelist means? It means one who brings good news. There was a necessity. Somebody had to go out there. Somebody had to step up. And so even though this is completely outside of the wheelhouse that we see Philip in to start with, it's something that when God called him to it, he stepped out boldly in faith. He didn't wait. He simply went and did what he was taught to do, what the apostles had trained him to do, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to be obedient to the gospel. You know, when I think about the idea of change, the idea of a person having to embrace God taking them from one place to another, I can't help but think about Moses. Talk about a guy whose life was changed in very, very drastic ways. You know, we talked about the fact that God is in control of your role. And sometimes as human beings, we want to be in control of our role, don't we? We want to have our own say. We want to have our own perspective and go, I feel like I'm super gifted at this, so therefore that's my role and that's how God's going to use me. Well, we see a good example of that in Moses. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, it says, "One day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. And he asked the one in the wrong, 'Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?' The man said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?' Moses was afraid and thought, 'What I did must have become known.' When Pharaoh heard this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well." Now, you look at this, and you might be thinking to yourself, if I was Moses, I'd think this is what God's plan was for me. I mean, you think about it. He miraculously saves me as a baby. He puts me in the arms of a princess of royalty so that I will be trained, that I will be educated. He sets up a situation where my mother will be my nursemaid so that she can teach me the difficulties and struggles of my people and prepare me to understand my responsibility to my people. And so, you know, if I were Moses, I'd be looking and going, okay, this is where God wants me to go. He's given me all the tools, all the resources, all the gift sets, so I'm ready to roll. But it wasn't God's idea at that time, was it? It was Moses. And how did he go about it? Did he go about it in a godly way? No, he said, "You're beating up my people. I will kill you." And so we see Moses, rather than being able to lead, we see him putting himself in a position where he has to flee, where his people mock him. You know, we have a tendency to be that way as human beings. Well, I know God wants me to do this. I know God wants me to do that. And I know he's got these great plans for me. I've told you guys before, when I was young, I thought I was supposed to be a megachurch preacher, right? So convinced. Oh, yeah, God gave me so many gifts and skills. I certainly should be out there spreading the message amongst the masses. But see, God's plans don't always mix with what we think. It was my ego, it was my pride, it was selfish ambition on my part, thinking too highly of myself and my gifts and skill sets. And so when we try to take these roles on ourselves, we end up doing things that cause us embarrassment and that hurt our ability to find what God's path is for us. So the first thing that we need to know about understanding that God is in charge of our role is not to be so quick to think that we've got it all figured out, but to take the time to ask God, "What do you have for me?" And God, with Moses, took the time to help him to come to the place that he needed to be. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 16 through 22, it says, "Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flocks. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, 'Why have you returned so early?' They answered, 'An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered our flock.' 'And where is he?' Reuel asked his daughters. 'Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat.' Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, 'I have become a foreigner in a foreign land.'" You see, God's role, God's plan for Moses was nothing like what he thought. It was nothing like what he expected. God gave him what we might call a simple role. You're going to be a father. You're going to be a husband. And you're going to be a shepherd. Now, I don't want to minimize those roles, because the closer I get to being a father, the more anxious I feel about the responsibility of that. The immense purpose of raising a child to know the Lord. But you see, this was a completely different role than the role that Moses thought he was supposed to have, wasn't it? Much simpler, much more basic. And yet, it's something that God looks for in his leaders. He says, if you're going to be my leader, I need you to take care of your family. He said this of the elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, talking of elders. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? And with our deacons, he says in 1 Timothy 3:12, a deacon must be faithful to his wife and must manage his children and his household well. And so God was preparing Moses for something bigger. He was starting him off with that basic thing and building him into who he would be. And it was only in God's timing that he became a leader. In Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, it says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God's timing is everything. You see, God allowed for the church to have a period of peace. He allowed a time frame for them to be taught, for them to be trained, for them to grow in the Lord. But there comes a time in our lives when we have to move forward, where we can't just stay where we're at, a place that is comfortable. We have to be willing to move. And this idea of being willing to move leads to our second point. Changing can be scary. Changing can truly and genuinely be scary. I mean, when you look at Moses, he had an excuse for every reason why he wasn't the right man for the job. He told God every single way why he wasn't equipped for this kind of a work. He told God he was unimportant in Exodus 3:11. He told God how he doubted that the Israelites would believe him in Exodus 3:13. He told how he doubted that the Egyptians would listen to him in Exodus 4:1. He doubted his ability to speak. We see that in Exodus 4:10. And finally, when it's all said and done, he pleads with God, "Send somebody else," in Exodus 4:13. "Don't make me the one who has to do this." Now, why do you think he did that? Why was Moses so focused on "send somebody else"? He'd become comfortable. He liked his role. He liked being a shepherd. He liked being a father. He liked his world to be simple. And there was a time that had come in which he was being called to do greater things. You know, I think that this idea of fear is probably true for all of us as well. I think sometimes that we reach a point where all we want is something small. "God, just use me in this little way. You know, if I can pass communion, perfect. If I can just, you know, be a face in the craft club, or if I can just focus on raising my family, or if I could just be this little piece in the puzzle, then just let me be that." Because that's comfortable. That's easy. And as we said, that may be where God is calling us to be, but the fact of the matter is that when we get comfortable, we stop listening to where God is calling us to be. You know, I got to admit to you guys something. You know, I love being a small church. I do. I love that I know all of your names, that I could go through here and name each and every one of you. And I loved when we were little, too, when we had 20 people in the room. And when church was over, we stayed for a half an hour, and I got to talk in depth with everybody. But you see, that's short-sighted. Because if all I'm focusing on is what makes me comfortable, what I like, being able to shake hands with everybody and know everybody, I'm missing the point that God has something bigger. He has called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God did not intend for his church to be small. He intended for us to love each other, to be close to each other, to be exactly who we are today. But he intended us to do it with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 10,000 people, that we all love each other, that we all care for each other, and that we are working to make sure that as many people as we can reach eternity with Jesus Christ. Comfort kills us. You know, if we'd have stayed at church at 20, there's no way we'd have been able to care for those kids over there and get them the toys that they needed to help them to learn how to manage money. If we'd have stayed a small church, there's no way we could do a nursing home ministry. There's no way we could do the craft club. There's no way that we could do all of the things that we do here. And think about how much more God could do if we were all focused on spreading the message and sharing it with our community. If we had the boldness to say, he has called me to step out into the world and to be the change that I want to see. This may be scary. It may seem overwhelming. But God has always carried his servants. God provided Moses with everything he needed. When Moses said, I'm not good enough, God said, yes, you are. When Moses said, the Israelites won't believe me, he said, well, tell them that I am who I am, that I'm the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Tell them. Well, what about the Egyptians? They're not going to believe me. Maybe the children of Israel. That's fine. I'm going to turn your staff into a snake. I am going to make your hand leprous so that they believe you. Okay, well, I'm not a good speaker. All right, well, I'll give you your brother Aaron. He'll speak for you. God carried him in every single way that he needed. And with Philip, he was provided everything that he needed to present the gospel message. He was given the ability to cast out demons. He was given the ability to heal the lame. He was able to do what was needed so that people would listen. You don't think he's going to do the same thing for you? If you believe that, you haven't read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. It says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. God has given you everything you need. So what is God calling to you? Maybe he's asking you to stay where you are and be diligent. It happens. It's not like God has something grandiose in every purpose for everyone. But what if he is calling you? Are you listening? Do you hear his words when he says, I want you to talk to that friend. I want you to reach out to that person. I want you to hug that person that's crying over there. I want you to laugh with that person that's rejoicing. I want you to tell that person that's struggling to have a child, I'm praying for you, and I know that God is going to bless you in your life. Are you listening for what God is calling you to, because he is sending us out? He's giving us purpose and direction. There are some people here who are here today who God has gifted to do things far beyond what they're doing right now. And he is going to call you to do those things. He's going to call you to step up, to be bold. And what I'm asking you is don't harden your heart. Don't get comfortable. Don't be the kind of person that when this church starts growing, when we start seeing these numbers come through, that we just hide in our little holes, that we are willing to step up and say, yes, I was once the student, but now I need to be the teacher. I was once the one discipled, now I need to be the one to disciple. Mothers, we need you to raise your children in the Lord. Grandmothers, we need you to guide our mothers so that they know how to raise their children in the Lord and to encourage them. Older men, we need you to mentor the younger men. And younger men, we need you to step up to the plate. Be ready. God is calling you into the kingdom and to work. Do not let fear keep you from stepping into the role that God has called you into. Our roles change. God called Philip to be an evangelist. And that's what he'd be for the rest of his life. In Acts 21, verse 8, it says, leaving the next day, this is Luke talking, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip the evangelist, one of the seven. You see, Philip saw the door that God had opened, heard the call, and was bold enough to step into it. And he did that for the rest of his life, preaching the gospel message. Will you be ready to answer that call? Will you be bold enough to step out and to move into that place that's not comfortable when God asks you to?